Thank you for watching Conscious Consumer Network. The live stream broadcast is free to view. You can pause and rewind live broadcasts to catch up, or view shows at a later date by accessing our free archives of all shows. Check out our broadcast guide to see what's on. You can show your support by donating to our network support fund. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or subscribe to the monthly newsletter for updates. We thank you for supporting free and independent media.
Welcome back, everyone, to the 38th edition of Unspun with Jan Ervin and Joe Atwell. And today we're going to be having another fantastic and interesting discussion because we're going to be talking about stuff that's actually sort of in the life that the two of us lead, because we often have confrontations with people who provide criticism of what we do, our work. Some of it is real and some of it is not. And so we were discussing this, and we'll probably talk a little bit about some of the particular critics that are on the internet attacking us. But I actually have a more hopefully lofty goal for this show, which is that I hope that we can suggest some protocol for all of this. You know, the alt media, as it's called, is getting bigger and bigger. And unfortunately, it's in chaos. There are many, many individuals that are agents, I believe, and I think Jan would agree with that, that infiltrate and infest.
In fact, Joe, I think we should call this episode Counterintelligence in Alt Media.
Okay. But there are a lot of criticism that takes place, which is simply because, which is inappropriate and creates unnecessary chaos. And so one of the things that we'll also be discussing is just the idea of whether or not it's possible to create a protocol that people who bring ideas into the alt media would be able to engage and see if they can resolve the issues that they have without making use of the internet to do so. So anyway, Jan, two really different subjects, but what should we discuss first, the counterintelligence side?
Yeah, I think it would be good to just dive right into that because...
Well, you suffer from that, I know. You suffer from that a lot. There's a lot of counterintelligence that comes your way, has for years.
Well, what about you? Do you get a lot of it your direction?
I think so. I mean, it's very hard to tell. I think a lot of it's
hard to weed out the willful dupes from the agents.
Yeah, and it's only recently that there have been some individuals that whose attacks have been basically gaining some traction in the internet. So in that case, I'll step in and respond to them. But what I have found to be the best case is simply to ignore individuals that bring sophistry against you. In other words, if they have real criticism, if the criticism comes up to just the level of where it makes sense to me, I'm interested in it and I want to, you know, engage that individual.
Absolutely.
If it's just something that, you know, it's like recently I had an exchange with an individual that part of the criticism was that I would potentially off him because the criticism he was going to bring against me was so powerful that in order to protect my reputation, I needed to, you know, he was saying, you know, if anything happens to me, look at this guy, look at Atwell, because this is, you know, this is where it could be coming from. And then I had a debate in which the criticism was revealed and it was just, I mean, pitiful. And so, you know, that was a mistake. I really shouldn't have responded. And the way I want to, I'm just, my sense of how to deal with the future is just, is say, look, if you have really good criticism of something that Jan has said or I have said that is incorrect, is either it is factually or in the reasoning is incorrect, then the first step is to bring it in writing to our website.
Well, you just email us, and yeah. The first thing that you do is quote the error.
Right.
you know, first thing, quote the error, quote what we actually said, then bring a citation that shows that we're wrong and how we're wrong, and then we'll accept it. If you're contacting us and saying, you know, I've taken LSD 500 times and you're wrong because you've never tried drugs before, which Joe and I have both, you know, I've, you know, I'm a former ethnobotanist. I've tried these things hundreds of times, you know.
No, I haven't done hundreds of times, but I've certainly taken drugs. And
yeah, and you've taken LSD. We've both taken LSD.
I've taken marijuana.
I mean, at least, you know, rather than making up circumstantial ad hominem attacks or lies against us, you know, quote the errors, bring them to our attention, bring a citation that we can fact check and go over it together, and we'll be happy to review that. But, you know, if you're just, you know, out there and you're upset because what we've said causes cognitive dissonance for you and makes you feel uncomfortable, well, maybe you need to sit with that for a while and think if, you know, if you're really upset with us because what we're saying is untrue, or just because it causes you discomfort, because if what we're saying is true, means that you were fooled. So rather than name calling and finding attacks to hurl at Joe and I or Hans or Steve, etc., find, you know, real errors in our work. I don't have a problem with somebody finding an error and approaching me and saying, hey, and in this paper you have an error here. All of the citations are there. Check the work. You know, Joe and I do our best to cite everything. In the videos on my website, in the video interviews, I do my best to cite everything on screen. You know, so if there are errors, just approach us. But, you know, what we see is these are the willful dupes that get caught into it. And then there is a second category of people that I'm just going to straight out call counterintelligence. And these people like to hide with those who get duped because it's an easy cover for them. And they can go in and they can incite those who are duped and keep them duped. Boy, we're getting some bad feedback there. I don't know where that's coming from. Joe, turn down your mic a little bit.
All right.
Anyway, I'm getting horrific feedback. Joe, mute your mic, please, while you're not talking there. Thank you. Now I've lost my train of thought there. But anyway, there's going to be a certain number of people who are willful dupes, and then you're going to have your counterintelligence who hide amongst them because they're easy to hide amongst. And it's just a simple cover. And then what they do is they incite those who are duped to not question, not follow up on the citations. They'll name call and, you know, Jan or Joe are idiots and how dare they question this stuff. You know, you know, maybe you want to comment on this too, Joe, and you'll need to unmute. But, you know, back in the beginning of this show, we had on a somebody whom we thought was a friend of ours, whom we had done, I had done about four or five shows with him. But his name is, you're going to need to turn down your mic level there, Joe. His name is Professor Daryl Hamamoto. And recently, he has been out and he is slandering me, making false accusations that I work for the Pentagon, saying that I have, you know, working with this guy, Douglas Dwayne Dietrich, that actually is the same guy who filed the false copyright claims in my videos with Steve Outram, but they're confusing me somehow with Godlike Productions. But Hamamoto is now out claiming that I am being paid by the Pentagon, and then they make all of these false accusations and then skip to, you know, trying to guilt association me with these Godlike Productions people and how they're dirty. So therefore I am. And then Dietrich sets up the conversation like Daryl Hamamoto had to break away from his association with Joe and I, you know, and Hamamoto, you know, it takes, but you know, we haven't even talked to the guy since December. So it's been 9 months, you know, so, and then suddenly he's out spreading all of this propaganda about us and saying all of our work on the music industry is wrong. My series with, Hans, music, mind control, and psychobiology is wrong. All of the work on Burning Man was wrong. It's all just ancient history, and it doesn't matter. You know, so why are these guys suddenly going out distorting our work while they're attacking those who distort quotes and citations while distorting our stuff, taking claim for it, filing false copyright claims on it, et cetera? Do you have anything to add to that, Joe?
Sure, a couple things. First,
you need to get close. Now your mic's a little bit low there.
Okay. How's that sound?
Better.
Okay. I reduced the sound. But the thing with Daryl was odd in that, you know, you have an interaction with an individual that goes on for quite a while. Number of interactions with Daryl. And at no point in any of the actual interactions with him did he bring up any of these issues, even though basically these subjects had been covered. And so
you might want to turn it up just a little more. Sorry, Joe. Now you muted yourself.
How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. So I didn't like the fact that Daryl wouldn't actually communicate with us directly.
Why? Oh, sure.
Yeah, they see this was the problem, and this is what
and you and I had talked about this several times over the last 8 months or so, and I would see Daryl around, you know, saying, "Oh, the Beatles had nothing to do with MI6, etc." And meanwhile, he's totally misrepresenting your and my arguments that we did in our shows together.
Yeah, and I would just say that if this goes to the protocol of what I call the alt media. The alt media is completely wild. It's the Wild West of information. And it has to be like that because it has to be free. In other words, you know, the media that it is attempting to overcome is a controlled media. It's a propaganda media. And so the freedom that the alt media engages with is absolutely necessary. But we do need to create some protocol to avoid chaos and also to avoid having the value of all of the different research that's going on be diminished by basically the individuals who are bringing it out fighting among themselves. And this would just simply create a chaotic situation that the public couldn't look into the alt media and see like a very clear path of information they could follow. Now, basically, that's the situation that has existed.
It creates intentional discordianism within the alt media itself.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that agents exploit. I think that's one of
absolutely
the ways that they attack us. But what we need to do and what can be done is develop some protocol. And one of them is simply be rational. If Daryl has actual errors in fact and reasoning, then I would say that this would be a great chance to develop some protocol. We could develop a protocol with Daryl.
And if he has some iota of evidence that I work for the Pentagon and all this, he needs to present the some sort of evidence against me. You know, meanwhile, I'm living in this cabin in the woods for $800 a month, doing my show from the kitchen for the last 6.5 years, you know. And, I'd be happy to take people around my little cabin here and show them like it's all, you know, it's mansion layout or whatever in the hills of San Bernardino, you know, in the rim of the world here.
Yeah, you'd be a very well-disguised agent if you are one. But you see, that is a spurious charge. It really doesn't have any supporting evidence, so it doesn't really need to be addressed. And in doing so, it just exhausts you from and keeps you from doing the research that you should be doing and could be doing if you weren't dealing with basically, attacks that have nothing in fact. So this is one thing that I would hope that, I'll just say there that in my case, you know that I'm trolled by different people that for whatever reason, have issues with my work, but won't bring them to me directly.
Sure. I see Hans getting trolled a lot.
Yeah.
I see Steve getting trolled a lot, Steve Outram, et cetera. you know, and these are people whom we can vet their work. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to figure out who's dirty and who isn't, the first thing that you need to do is study the Trivium method so that you can see through the BS. The second thing that you need to do, and you can even do this first if you, you know, you, and I'm talking about a full 2 year study of the Trivium method, including all of the study notes, Leonard Peikoff's Introduction to Logic, Sister Marianne Joseph's book, all the stuff that we have under the study materials on the Trivium Education website. But then what you can do beyond that is simply check our citations. If we claim something says XYZ, how do you know if we're telling the truth? Well, we provide the citation, you pull it up, and you check it. Did we present it correctly? If we did, we're telling the truth. If we didn't, we're not. It's that simple. And you know, and we are human. You know, you might find an error, a spelling mistake. You know, when I went through John Allegro's work, I found like 4 grammatical errors out of, you know, hundreds of citations of his that I checked. So, you know, if you find a grammatical error or something, you can bring it to our attention, this kind of stuff. But, you know, one of the most common attacks that I get from people who is people who've not read my work, and they'll attack me and they'll say that my work is wrong because of some other information that they have, like they've been high on LSD before, so therefore they couldn't have been duped by the CIA, you know, instead of looking at the information first. But, you know, the first thing that you have to do is, if you want us to have respect for your contacting us with your bit of information, have the respect for us to study the work first. And if you have specific questions on specific citations, check those citations. And then if you do find an error, then you have specific points you can bring to us. If you want to know if we're dirty or not, or anybody in the quote alt media is dirty or not, then you'd simply check the citations, use the Trivium method, look if people are telling the truth. If they're trying to use NLP and NVC and, you know, lead you around with all of this stuff, maybe you need to question what's going on. If they're out name calling and using slander and not supporting any evidence for what they're claiming, you know, maybe you need to look at the situation differently. But like with Daryl Hamamoto the other day, let me see if I can find him, but he was on this show the other day, and with Douglas Duane Dietrich, and what he's, I'm just looking for the interview, but it's episode I think 30 with Douglas Duane Dietrich. And you know, people can see that. Oh, it's episode 11 apparently. Oh, no, that's the Stubblebine episode. Sorry. So anyway, I think I have it in the brain database somewhere. I posted it up on the Gnostic Media website. Daryl Hamamoto, at like 43, 44 minutes into this interview, just totally going off and making up wild stuff. And then he's also admitting that his university, UC Davis, is one of the expert universities in these types of psyops. And then he admits, you know, if I get out of line, this is what they do. And is he telling the audience that, you know, this is the type of thing they do, or is he admitting that he's actually a part of these types of operations? And that's the big question. But anyway, did you have more to add to that, Joe?
Sure. I understand that there's a little bit of feedback coming from my mic. I'm not sure why. I've got it turned down quite low. It's odd. But, you know, in the case of Daryl, I would say that I would like to establish a protocol. The charge, the claim that he is slandering you with, in my opinion, it is slander, is that you are an agent of the Pentagon. So that's a very, you know, clear charge. There's nothing ambiguous about it. Daryl should, I think, be willing to come on our show and basically give his evidence to support it. And I know that, even though I haven't asked this of you, I'm sure that you would agree that we would be happy to have Daryl come on the show. And if he wants to make these charges in our presence, then we can have an exchange and actually work through the evidence, work through the reasoning. And we can basically put this issue aside so it doesn't become a time-wasting thing, because frankly, it's absurd. The one thing that I was going to say is that in terms of the general philosophy is that, you know, we have two problems. One is fact and the other is reasoning. Errors in fact are not easy to demonstrate, but can be demonstrated particularly through the checking of citations. Errors in reasoning are more difficult because, you know, reason is a broader subject. It involves simply a lot of times existential analytic technique. But basically, if we are wrong in logic, if we are wrong in fact, we would love to know this, because we want to basically show the alt media the power of the process that is logic, that is represented by a trivium education. And so, you know, this would be, Daryl would be like a case in point. You know, I have someone who kind of trolls me. He basically criticized my critique of The Tempest. And there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that he had never read my critique, because if had he done that, he would realize that it's grounded in the analysis I did of both Shakespeare and Caesar's Messiah, which are both so unique and arcane that they'd be impossible to find some kind of way that my Tempest analysis was based upon his, and I hadn't given him citation. He was making the charge that he had done some analysis.
And you're talking about Jade Dyer, is that correct?
And that I had plagiarized his analysis. And I then, you know, I was just amazed and outraged, and I was going, you know, Mr. Dyer, I've never even heard of you. I have no idea what your analysis
right.
is.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I go ahead, sorry.
Anyway, the point is that, and I don't want to get into, you know, I mean, it's just a waste of time to get into a, you know, kind of this kind of contest with Jay, and I don't mean to speak ill of him. I think that the people in the alt media a lot of times are under a lot of financial pressure, and they feel that they have to guard their discoveries, and you know, because they see those things as so necessary for them to get in these donations that they live on. And okay, that makes them hypersensitive. But what I'm hoping is that we can get to a broader position where we all see that beyond our needs to make a living, there is also the need to give facts to the public. And so when we bring criticism against someone who's in the alt media, who's, you know, you should have at least the hope, if not the presumption, that they are at least trying their best to do something useful. I mean, they're not all agents. So how do you...
Or are they? Like Hollywood and the music industry and the rest, you know?
Right. But the thing is that when criticism is brought, it should just be within, you know, something that will end up with a value being created, where there, in other words, an improvement in fact or reasoning, a clarification, something that actually makes the information that the public gets better. And so that's what I'm hoping that we can, you know, Jan and I will try to be an inspiration to all of our critics. by creating a protocol that everyone who brings criticism against us can be sure that there's a process that doesn't need to bring everybody into the mud to answer their criticism.
Sure.
John was saying, you know, look, first, you know, if you're going to criticize a written article, read the article. Second, communicate to us personally before you go into the public.
Joe, and speaking of which, I'm glad you brought that up, because Simon Powell and Daniel Pinchbeck did a hit piece on me on Reality Sandwich. And in Simon Powell's hit piece against me, he admits that he didn't read my work because it was too long and too detailed for him to comprehend.
Right, but it wasn't too long or too detailed to create a blanket criticism.
Right.
You know, okay, so that's, you know, that's just unacceptable. That isn't the protocol that needs to exist. You know, I just think given his provenance that Pinchbeck you know, if he isn't an agent, I'm just going to say, please, Daniel, come on the show, and we would like to have a little chat.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, granted, we should invite him on and talk about his mom and all of it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Let's just get it out. Just like our invitation to
James Fadiman, to Zach Leary, to Zane Kesey.
Yeah. Like, you know, so that's the thing is that we're just big-hearted and fair-minded people. And so if you have a criticism, please understand that we will respond to critique that come in emails. Error in fact and reasoning, man, we are going to be all over that and give you an honest response. If there is real grounds for it, then come on the show. We have an open invitation to, we've got so many people. I mean, like Gloria Steinem has one. Zane Kesey has one.
Zach Leary.
Zach Leary, Dennis
McKenna, James Fadiman, et cetera.
All of the people that critique us, and Jay Dyer.
Jay, yeah, come on the show and debate us about, you know, because you know, I was discussing this with Hans the other day, and I've received dozens of messages over the last several months, and everyone seems to agree that you are, in fact, plagiarizing our work and then claiming that it's yours and then distorting it. And just like you did with the Trivium, et cetera, when you did that, you know, setup interview with me and your work with Tom Secker and these other guys that we also think are very probably dirty. But yeah, you know, just, you know, instead of going around claiming that, you know, it was me that wrote the rebuttal because of the error with Gödel and Goethe, etc. No, it was Bill Joslin that wrote that. You don't need to go around and make up lies. You don't need to have some online competition about whose channel gets more views while you omit the 38 episodes of Unspun, etc. I mean, who cares, really? You go around like checking our channel hits each week to see if your numbers are superseding ours, to see if you're like propaganda or misinformation or whatever it is like superseding ours to get, you know, people real information. I mean, you know, all the power to you, brother. But come on and address us personally.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, and not directing, you know, addressing Jay directly, but just in general, is that all of us should be hoping that everybody's hits, everyone's, you know, internet activities going up. There shouldn't be a competition. We really should have, given the crisis that we're facing.
And given the status of the mainstream media.
That's what I mean. And of course, the status of the government's technical capacity to control our lives and our bodies. We really do need to take the issue seriously. And we really do need to have a kind of altruism concerning our own, you know, attempts to dominate the airways. You know, when people plagiarize my stuff, Jan, I never complain. And you can imagine with like Caesar's Messiah, I mean, just like take, for example, the concept lifetime actor. I was listening to this guy in the, in another forum, he's giving a, you know, an online lecture, and he used the expression lifetime actor. He didn't cite me as, you know,
right. Well, and I'm hearing that term starting to pop up everywhere. So kudos to you. And I'm also hearing my term suggestogen starting to get used everywhere.
And exactly, I've heard both. You know, so the thing is, I don't complain. I think just the opposite. This is exactly the point. We are trying to create terminology with that the public can use to help evaluate what is going on in their lives. We need these references. The mainstream media and the, you know, the dominant culture will not create, they will give you expressions like conspiracy theory that will bend your mind in the wrong direction. They will come up with terms like psychedelics, right? Again, to bend your mind in the wrong direction. When a term comes along like suggestogen,
yeah.
You have a word that if it is automatic in your mind, then when you look at, for example, Daniel Pinchbeck's, you know, the neo advocation of LSD, or the second bus trip, you know, the one that, you know,
Zane Kesey.
Okay. When you use Jan's term, well, wait a second. These things don't seem like such a good idea. They don't seem like they're so much fun. The possibility that there is mind control in back of all this becomes clear. So I hope that everyone uses Jan's term. I think it would be great if they would, particularly when they use it in writing, that they since Jan.
Well, and what about Dr. David Price's term, weaponized anthropology? You know,
exactly. Yeah. I'm really hearing weaponized a lot now.
Me too.
I'm hearing this all the time. I think it's great because it's one of, I mean, Price's term is absolutely, to use a phrase, priceless, because Price gives an expression that clarifies exactly what you're dealing with. It's beautiful. Weaponized anthropology. It was the title of a book he wrote, I believe, and that's an expression that the public needs to have. So the vocabulary needs to be built up, and in fact
David Price said he was going to come on the show and he never did, and I read his whole book on the airplane and he never replied to my emails.
Yeah, well, I know we're still a little, I think, you know, hot, if you know what I mean. I mean, we're
you think? Yeah, you know, and the more we've exposed this, the fewer big radio interviews I get, you know. But, but speaking of all this, Joe, maybe we should talk about, you know, we're exposing people who we think might be dirty. You know, we could probably throw in like Jordan Maxwell, who is actually Russell Pine. In my opinion, he's got questionable stuff going on. Joanna Harcourt Smith, who runs the Future Primitive podcast. Of course, she was Timothy Leary's lover, and it looks like she has worked with the CIA for years. And then there's her ex-marriage, John Lamb Lash. Lots of questions regarding him. And, of course, he calls himself described as the true successor of Joseph Campbell. John is a teacher of world mythology, Tantra, Buddhism, Gnosticism, pre-Christian mysteries, alchemy, etc. Of course, I interviewed John Lash on my show years ago, back when I was bought into a lot of these and was a willful dupe. But we mentioned Pinchbeck, and I used to do a lot of work with Richard Andrew Grove of Tragedy and Hope, and him and Paul Verge and Brett Vinod and these guys, we found some very revealing documents from the Department of Labor website. And Clint Richardson did an excellent write-up exposing, and there was some others helping with the article, but exposing the facts behind the claims of Richard Grove. And in fact, let me show this on screen here. And let's see. And Clint's website is Reality Blogger, and the article is Spin Job, The Odd Case of Richard Andrew Grove. And I think that is an excellent article to, you know, begin to see, you know, how alt media can be tricksters. And here Richard Grove, this guy had worked with for many years, apparently made up, at least by the court records and everything we've compared. We compared the judge's decision to his own claims and his own videos and found them very contradictory.
Yeah.
But, many of the people that were working with Tragedy and Hope, I completely distanced myself from working with them like 4 or 5 years ago. And there was a lot of shenanigans going on, in my opinion, that I don't need to go into. But I think that this article and what the judge had to say and comparing that to Grove's own claims speaks for itself, you know. And there's a lot of others that I have questions about in the alt media, but I think there are some good ones. I just mentioned Clint Richardson. I suspect that he's legit. I suspect that April Bowden is legit. I suspect that Sophia Smallstorm is legit. And I don't know, Joe. Maybe I'm at the end of my list.
First of all, I wanted to talk about the protocol And you know, when you expose an individual, and the first thing, I mean, like we've had the trial of Ken Kesey, right? We, I mean, just from I'm just talking about the stuff I've done, like J.D. Salinger, right? The
sure.
I've done analysis of this, and I've said, okay, well, here's my analysis, and based upon this, I'm just saying that these guys are part of a very, very vast op. And then, of course, you've like the work you've done with Aldous Huxley, right? Okay, just as an example, all right. So people can, I mean, as you know, our critics will come forward and they say, well, you know, you're taking on these icons, we're in love with these individuals, and you're bad people for doing it. The thing I want to say is, once Gordon Wasson's pay requisition was established, that he was working with MKUltra, that the psychedelic revolution had its origins as subproject 58 of MKUltra, once that was true, then the public deserved and needed to have some speculation done about the identity of lifetime actors. And that's why you're to be praised to such a high degree, Jan, for the work you've done bringing these individuals who are historical icons to us in many cases into question.
I don't think the CIA would agree with you on that, Joe.
Too bad, but you see, we're talking about defending the public, you see.
Oh, you mean not defending the CIA, because, you know, it's like that. Let me just read you a quote here really quick off the...
My thought.
All right.
Okay, so my point, my thought is that people will criticize us and they'll go, look, you know, there's still the possibility that you're wrong, right? Well, look, that's not relevant. We are entitled to do some speculation because we are literally being genocided, right? Once the documents were in existence showing that MKUltra had this project, and remember, the documents prove that MKUltra, which could not possibly have been some kind of rogue operation, right? It was put in place by some larger and more powerful organization. Once that was all clear, the public had the right to defend itself. So if people are upset about the fact that we are exposing icons, well, look at the other side of the coin. Look at what we're trying to do. We're trying to defend the public. So that's my thought.
Sure. Now, one thing that, you know, people need to realize when they make these claims, you know, what if you guys are wrong? Well, here's the thing is, I think we've done quite a sufficient job in providing the onus of proof. Now, when you undertake a study of the trivium method, et cetera, you begin to undertake the study of formal logic and you understand terms like the onus of proof versus arguing the arbitrary. Now, again, if you think we're wrong, provide the evidence that we are wrong so that we can look at it. Don't just name call and distort the work like, you know, the person that you had on your other show with Jerry. But, you know, present the actual citations and work. Don't distort it. Don't take it out of context. Show us how it's erroneous. Provide the updated information and we'll correct it, you know. And here's the thing is the onus of proof we have provided, so then you would need to provide the onus of proof against our evidence, which has not been done. And until that is done, it's known as arguing the arbitrary and it's dismissed by default. You have to have supportive evidence against us, and not just because, you know, Ken Kesey was your hero and you like to smoke joints and ride your surfboard and dream of being, you know, some Kesey wannabe novelist, you know?
Right. And the thing is, the only thing I want to mention is that the one of the parts of the protocol that I hope will, you know, in the long term improve the quality of information that the alt media produces is that and maybe this is one of the reasons why we do get sniped at, is that I just want to mention that when you do communicate in writing, prepare to have that placed in the public domain, right? If you want to do criticism in private, I'm perfectly willing to do that. But simply announce that in the first email. Just say, would you mind having, you know, because I don't want my ideas, which are not fully formed, or whatever reason you give, you say, I don't want to let these things become public. Or in many cases, people will say, I just don't want the public to know I'm having an exchange with you, Joseph Atwell, because, you know, many people are upset with you. And then, you know, and Jan, I always say, okay, that's fine. Perfectly fine. Just up front say, okay, we'll have a private discussion. But in general, I think Jan and I would both always accept public discussions. We always want our work to be available for public scrutiny. So if you're bringing criticism, you know, just be prepared to have us use that as we explain our position to the public, right? You know, if you send us an email, say, I'm contesting this point. Okay, great. We accept that. Here's our response. And if we put this out as a public, basically, chain of information, we're not trying to hurt people's reputation. We're not trying to, you know, make them look foolish. We just want to improve the quality of the information. So that's why the exchange we have, if it comes out that, hey, look, we could defend our position very easily, that's something that's valuable for the public. If on the other side, hey, we made an error, okay, that's on us. We'll give that to the public too. The alt media just needs to develop the whatever protocol is possible to try to help the public get better information, the best information it can.
Now, what I would like to do, Joe, is play a little clip from this show with Douglas Dwayne Dietrich and Daryl Hamamoto. I'm going to play like a minute or two of it.
I'm dying to hear this,
actually. Okay, here we go.
Truly disturbed people out there who take everything and they run with it and they pervert it, they misquote it, and that's what you will
purposely
notice
sometimes.
Yeah, all of it.
I work at a university that specializes in that type of program.
Well, tell us about
selectively.
That.
They're very selective about it. They'll let themselves slide, but for someone like me, if I go off the script, yeah. You know, off of their script, I'm in trouble. I'll give you one example. I said that. The books by Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Sotoro, were ghostwritten. And this one woman reported me. She said, this guy's crazy. He says that books are written by ghosts.
Right.
So not only is there insanity there, but there's also a great deal of mental retardation involved. She had never heard the idea of a ghostwriter.
Well, that's where we're at. I'm dealing with
that. She's a UC student. This is a UC student.
Yeah, well, this is where we'll go into our mutual gangstalkers then. My gangstalker, the primary one whose net worth is $70 million, is Stephen Outram. And he does that with just an endless amount of bile and vitriol that he puts on the net. And what he sponsors is Jan Ervin and his Gnostic Media. Now, I understand you were on there for a while, and when you decided to come onto my program, they were trying to discourage yourself from doing so, and basically began to take over your Facebook timeline. And this is something that we'd like to hear more about, your experiences with breaking away from that individual and his controlled media outlet.
Didn't even take much effort to call it a breakaway. I just unfriended these people. I think his handle in Facebook is Zosdotorg, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
And there's some monkey face avatar there with a little World War I pilot's helmet.
Yeah.
Which was suspicious to begin with, but you know, my Facebook is open to the public, but I unfriended him, I guess the expression goes, as well as some of these other characters. They were mostly on there just to find new story ideas because I'm a font of original insights. And this is how some of these people who talk about, you know, issues that are 50 or 60 years old,
right.
they need a little bit of refreshing. They're still talking about, yeah, the Beatles are a creation of the Tavistock. So, yeah, I read John Coleman. I read about that. It's never been verified. Oh, yeah, Laurel Canyon, the whole counterculture was a creation of the CIA. By the way, if you guys are listening, hey, how you doing? Aloha.
Yeah,
So these guys are out there and not only are they mentally ill, but they're probably being financed by room 335 in the Pentagon or in Langley or something like that.
Well, and that's it. Yeah.
We can assume that.
Yeah, well, we don't need to assume, because basically what happens is they've out and out gone on to outlets right after each other in a row. There's what's called the Hillbilly Radio Network on which had interviewed myself a few times. There was somebody who was affiliated with a show called The Week in Conspiracy, and then there was somebody who ambushed myself once on the Tavistock Institute. This truly was Tavistock Institute, funded by General Knowledge. The guy Godlike Productions for him, and the Godlike Productions have.
You know, and you see him trying to guilt me there with Godlike Productions. Hamamoto calls us both insane, outright slander.
Right.
And, you know, they're saying probably funded by the Pentagon, et cetera. I mean, this is stuff that we could, you know, haul Hamamoto into court for.
It's slander. There's just no question about it. But it's just so disappointing.
Why don't you get closer to your mic there, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it's just very disappointing because obviously there wasn't any exchange that had anything to do with reason or fact, right? I mean, Hamamoto simply just went after us with insults. It was actually, if you know, in my opinion, it was kind of childlike. Daryl basically disgraced himself as a scholar with this approach against us because there's no details. It was just a waste of time. It's not something that I personally would respond to unless I thought that, you know, there was like a groundswell that I had to deal with that of people who were actually taking that stuff seriously. I think that in that case, the charges are simply so ludicrous that I can't imagine any rational person, you know, getting any sort of value out of it. I would issue an invitation to Daryl. Come on the show, buddy. Think of all of the.
Oh, well, Daryl, he was on our show back in December.
Come on, guy, let's air our problems, and you know,
like a rational academic who's capable of discussing facts without slander.
And I would just point out that the first thing we'll bring up, Daryl, is that the the idea that the counterculture was, you know, created coming through Coleman is not correct. You want to go and read Manufacturing the Deadhead. And I think what you'll find is that they're actually, this idea comes from the pay requisitions of Gordon Wasson. And so that's really where it starts. And so you might want to get the facts about what the claim is correct first before.
Well, I suddenly, if he's counter intel, like it appears that he has been the whole time, then he's not interested in facts and he won't accept the invitation to come on the show to discuss with us the facts of Wasson's pay requisition or that he misrepresented the Beatles, you know. And even in a thread on Facebook, I told him that we don't use any of Coleman's work because it's unsighted. And then he goes and he claims that I'm using Coleman's work.
Right. I mean, the Tavistock is brought into the creation of the counterculture because Eric Trist was in the car with Jerry Garcia when they were leaving the hospital that MK Ultra was conducting experiments with in 1960. And these are public documents. And so his father, having been one of the four founders of the Tavistock, actually is a detail that the public should be aware of because it fits into a very, very chilling pattern of relationships between individuals who represent themselves as, you know, wanting to create a new counterculture and government intelligence. And I would point out that Gordon Wasson also had a kind of a fantastic cover story, and that the whole article in Life magazine can be shown as basically part of a sub-project that MKUltra produced. So, you know, the evidence is there. Daryl is basically using the red herring. He's trying to, if you notice how he criticizes us is by he cites Coleman and Laurel Canyon, right?
He doesn't show any errors in our own work or anything. It's a total red herring. But Joe, there was a situation, and I want to throw this out there, that I have been under the suspicion for about a year, maybe 2 years now, that the majority of your tenured professors are in fact agents or assets, and that this is part of what tenure means, especially in the government-run state schools. And, interestingly, about a year and a half or 2 years ago, I had given Hamamoto a document that I pulled from Yale, from the Charles McLean Andrews archive, that showed Charles McLean Andrews and Gordon Wasson working behind the scenes to inform another historian on the official story he was going to tell. And Daryl's like, wow, this is huge. Andrews was, you know, a huge guy in history. I'm going to take this to the history department here at Davis. And then I'm waiting for him. And then 2 months later, he comes back. Oh, you know, it wasn't important. You know, that's so ancient history. It's in the past. He was a nobody, you know, and then he plays the whole thing down. But, you know, it's pretty damning if one of Yale's leading historians was completely corruptible. And in several of my articles that, you know, and you co-wrote the Manufacturing the Deadhead article. And let me see if that's in there. It's not in that article, but it's, I think it's in the first article. Gordon Wasson, the man, the legend, the myth, these conversations that Wasson and Andrews were having behind the scenes. But, you know, so there's this whole you know, he befriends us and then he pretends to support us. He pretended to want to do a lecture with us, a whole seminar, apparently pretended, excuse me, right. And then kind of beat around the bush and never got anywhere. And then in a quip a couple of months ago on Facebook, he says, oh, I was never actually interested in doing that.
Right. Well, look, I don't know Daryl that well. He's an internet romance. You know, I mean, I've met him on the internet. We exchange information. I think I may have met him through you. I'm not even sure how
Probably. And I met him through, you know, somebody who introduced me on Facebook.
I'm not sure. But anyway, you know, I've always had very civil communication with him. It's very disappointing to just see the, childlike insults that his, you know, his interview descended into. I mean, it's just, if you just stand back and ignore the personalities and just say, well, this guy is supposed to be a professional academic, and then to have charges like, well, you know, the information is coming from a room in the Pentagon. I mean, things like this. I mean, this is just like a five-year-old, you know. And so,
It sounds to me more like they're trying to project what's going on with them onto us to cover their own asses.
This is the thing, but it isn't. In my case, I wouldn't spend 2 minutes trying to determine whether or not they're agents, because it's just a waste of time. Even if they are, they aren't producing criticism of our work, which is coherent. I don't think that many people will respond to it because, as I said, it's so infantile. So really, you know, I'm just going to let Daryl spin off into space unless he really wants to explain.
And come on the show and break it down. And he had watched the entire series. He told me on Skype that he had watched the entire series with Hans and I, Music, Mind Control, and Psychobiology, and which is a 7-part series. It encompasses over 20 hours of material. And he said, he told me that he was anxiously studying the whole series.
Right.
You know, and, you know, Hans goes into all of the Beatles stuff and so much more. And then he misrepresents all of that. He downplays the whole thing as just something that was happening in the past, you know, 50, 60 years ago, not something that's ongoing. But you're right. I mean, it's not addressing anything that we've presented, anything that we've actually said. Daryl, you're invited on to speak for yourself and why you're going on the show of the person who filed illegal copyright claims against my videos with Steve Outram, and then, you know, telling people that we're apparently paid by the Pentagon and all this stuff while you make slanderous claims. I mean, yeah, you're welcome to come on and see if you're man enough to stand for yourself. I welcome you.
You know, I won't even say man enough. I'm just saying, look, this is a technical matter. I mean, there is fact and there is reasoning. We can go through this in a way that hopefully will be an example of a process and a protocol that the public can come to expect when alt media personalities have issues with one another's positions. There should be a process that the public can expect. What Daryl did would be a real-time example of what not to do. I mean, this is a sniping personal attack with insults. I mean,
yeah, it sounds like Dennis McKenna at the Free Your Mind conference, you know.
I'm just amazed. Actually, I'm just shocked because I hadn't heard that. See,
I sent it to you, so I thought you had.
You know, the thing is, because of my work with Caesar's Messiah, I would get hundreds of such criticisms against me ad hominem. I mean, basically, lots of them would make.
Well, you don't expect it from the professor of Asian history at UC Davis, you know.
I'm used to being like a spawn of the devil, you know, kind of individual. And I mean, this comes all the time. I don't, you know, so what? But when a professional academic, you know, descends into 5-year-old insults, then that's just very disappointing. And so, look, Daryl, quit doing that. It's not a protocol that the public that can get any value out of. And there is another protocol available to us. Come on the show, defend the position, show us the errors in fact and reasoning. If you want to make the case that Gordon Wasson's pay requisition for the trip to Mexico and the article in Life magazine are somehow things which are not real, or there's nothing that can be deduced.
And the rest of the 1,000 pages of documents I have that you've seen.
I mean, look, Daryl, read the article and produce an error in fact and reasoning, and then have a dignified response that the public can get some value out of the criticism. That's really the point of this show, folks.
Yeah, throwing mud, you know, from over the wall and cackling like a little child while you run away is not.
And I mean the individual that he was having the discussion with, I mean, my head hurts just thinking about these claims. You know, I mean, it's just that's someone that should be discouraged from having a show until he spent a little more time in analytic training, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, and he claims to actually be a librarian for Colonel Michael Aquino, which may be totally bogus. Apparently, his FOIA doesn't reveal that, you know, anything other than boot camp. And, you know, so apparently his claims are false if his, you know, if his FOIA record is accurate. You know, maybe he's counterintelligence working for INSCOM or for Jim Channon because they're upset that we exposed Burning Man, et cetera. But, you know, who knows what the real deal is there. But, you know, a little more digging and we'll continue to find out. We'll continue to expose these guys along the way.
And in the meantime, we're just going to work toward a process that is visible to the public. We will attempt to ground it in fact and reason.
And we've explained in this episode how to fact check us and how to fact check any of the hosts to make sure, you know, what they're saying is factual or not. And if they're just making, you know, childish, you know, sandbox name calling, et cetera, then don't believe it and study the trivia method so that you understand logical fallacies, et cetera. And then you can identify them when somebody is trying to fool you, including Joe and I.
Yeah, exactly. And also, you know, please don't be jealous or, you know, perhaps not the right word, but think it's negative that Jan and I are, you know, becoming sort of internet sensations. I mean, maybe it's too strong.
I would love to get out of this little house and get a dedicated studio room for the show if anybody wants to help out with that. And I need a whole lot of money for the server under the desk, including $2,000 just for hard drives. So
exactly. So we spend a lot. We get very little back. And so
please donate.
Please donate. And
$2,000, please.
Yeah, and you deserve that and much, much more. But anyway, so you know, this is just we're trying to appeal to the public to expect a better process. And when people like Daryl and that host, you know, just vent something which is, you know, not grounded in fact and reasoning and just sort of a vented insult, the public should call them on it. The public should demand better. Everyone can work in a process to get a better, way of getting information to one another. We have this powerful tool now. We can use it. It's not owned completely by the oligarchs. Let's take advantage of it. Let's not, you know, waste time with insults and jealousy and craziness. Let's create a process that's grounded in fact and reasoning that is what then can vet one another and where we can go to, you know, have our discussions. And if there's real grounds, then we can take it to a public level, you know, and it'll be so much better. For example, if Daryl had come to us, we'd had an exchange and information was on the table. And then he says, you know, gosh darn it, I've exposed you. I'm going to take this and show the process to the public. Hey, more power to you. Try it. And then at the end of the day, the process itself will have value and the public will get something out of the exchange. Whereas just, you know, sniping doesn't help anything. So you know, this is my thoughts, Jan. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think people should support both of us. And, you know, this year has been awful for donations, folks. So 2 weeks ago, the main server went down. The power supply went out. It took the BIOS out with it. Luckily, it was a dual BIOS. So it recovered itself, but I did lose my production hard drives, which are mirrored. So I need to get those replaced. So I kind of have been stuck in the water here for the last few weeks. I could really, you know, would really appreciate donations on that. This is listener supported. And, you know, I know you talked about earlier, the other option is getting corporate underwriting because we're doing commercials. And that can, you know, that's worse. So we're trying to avoid stuff like that by appealing to the public for support and for donations, et cetera. So trying to keep out of the thick of control and all of that.
They do a great job. And support Jan, Gnostic Media. There's the donate button. Please just hit it. You can find me at
GnosticMedia.com, right at the top. Hit the donate button.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I think that's about it, Jan. I will see you all next week.
See you all next week. Until then, folks, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning into CCN. This unique network is dedicated to free and independent media. CCN was created with the belief that information is the common heritage of all beings, which is why our live stream high definition broadcast is easily accessible and free to view. If we want to change the world, we must first change the media. Having produced over 1,000 shows in 2015, which are all archived on YouTube, we look forward to bringing you more groundbreaking, cutting-edge information in 2016. For more information on what is on, please check out our broadcast guide for weekly updates. CCN broadcasts in multiple languages and features some key voices of our challenging times who are all in pursuit of a free, fair, just, sustainable world. CCN belongs to you, the people, and it is up to you all to keep this network on the air. Please contribute to the Network Support Fund or visit the CCN shop. We thank you all for supporting free and independent media.